Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
Moses fails as a mediator because he has his own sin to deal with. There is only one person who has the ability to receive on himself the sin of others, and that person is Jesus. The Bible is quite clear. He committed no sin. He was holy and righteous before God because he is God. He receives our sin. We receive his righteousness.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. At the same time Moses was atop Mount Sinai receiving instructions directly from God, the Israelites were reverting back to pagan religious practices of idolatry, but willing to sacrifice even his own life to atone for the people. Moses alone couldn't turn away God's wrath. And coming up, Pastor Greg explains that forgiveness for our own sin, likewise, requires the intervention of a divine redeemer as well.
This is what it says in Exodus 32, 30 through 35. The next day Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. But if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now, go lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel will go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf the one that Aaron had made. People of Israel have left Egypt. People of Israel have wandered through the wilderness. The people of Israel have come to Mount Sinai, where they have countered the presence of God on the mountain in smoke and fire and lightning. The people have seen God as Moses has brought down a copy of the covenant on the stone tablets. And then last week, what we discovered was the people, while Moses was up on the mountain receiving the covenant, made for themselves an idol of gold that looks like a cow, that they might worship that cow. And they held a worship festival for that golden cow, which involved worship, it involved offerings, it involved a party. And that party involved many things that would be positive and many things that happen at parties. You wake up in the next morning and say, "What were we thinking?" And now verses 30 through 35, we have sort of the conclusion of what happened. Moses had come down from the mountain, found what they were doing, had called the people to correction. Most had, not all had. The Levites then went through the camp, and all those who weren't repenting of their sin, they actually killed. 3,000 people died. And now we get the conclusion of that story. Moses is telling the people, "I will go back up the mountain and see what I can do with God in regard to this great sin where you have abandoned him and worshiped idols while God was right there on the mountain next to you." And what Moses wants the people to understand, and what we're going to discover in this passage today, is that sin, rebellion against God, rejection of God, ruins everything. The title of the message today is depressing. It's ruined. It's sort of depressing. It gets fixed at the end. I don't want you to walk away. Don't leave in the middle because you'll miss the point. Ruined. We can't undo it. We can't fix it. And it's all our fault. Look at verse 30 of Exodus 32. Moses said to his people the next day, so all this has gone on. They've worshipped an idol. They've repented. Some people had to die because they wouldn't repent. And the next day, Moses said, "You have sinned a great sin. And now I'm going to go up to the Lord and I'm going to try and make atonement for you." Look at that last phrase. "Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." The biggest perhaps in the Bible. Perhaps. I'll let you know how it works out. I mean, this is a big deal. Moses isn't sure what's going to come of it. But he's saying, you have to understand how big a deal it is that you have rejected God, Everything is ruined because you walked away from God. Everything is ruined because you walked away from God, he said to the people of Israel. Think of it this way. There's such a thing, we call it a tethered diver. A diver that is tethered. And what a tethered diver is this. You might dive into the ocean or a lake or your bathtub, and you wear those oxygen tanks. I think they have oxygen in them. And you can swim around and you can do underwater diving and whatever. But another kind of diver has a long hose that goes up to the boat. And these guys, what the thing they can do is they can stay underwater without having to replace their tanks all the time. See these kind of divers maybe in industrial applications? They need to go down, they need to work on something, and they need to do it for a long period of time. And so they've got an air hose that goes up to a boat, and they don't have to keep swapping their tanks out. So they're tethered. So on the one hand, being a tethered diver means you have a constant supply of air. And I don't know if you know how this works, but underwater, that's a good thing. But the downside of being a tethered diver is that that hose will only go so far. At a certain point, you run out of hose. At a certain point, the hose becomes restrictive. You can go some places, but you can't go other places. So you have two options. You can just stay where the hose allows you to go, or you can cut the hose off and go wherever you want. The hose provides life-giving oxygen, but it also restricts where you can go. And Moses is saying to the people of Israel, you just cut your hose. You just cut it off, you went where you wanted, and you have no idea you're drowning. You decided God's ways were stick-in-the-mud ways. He is a real loser. He's too restrictive. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He doesn't understand the situation you're in. So I'm going to cut my hose and handle my own business. And Moses is going, that was real smart. You just cut off your source of life. I'm going to go up and talk to him and see if this isn't as bad as I think it is. Moses says, you have cut your air hose to gain freedom, and the result is you're now dead. The problem that people have, the people of Israel has, and frankly, every person who has ever lived has, the problem is all of us have told God he doesn't know what he's doing. We know better, and we're going to go our own way. The problem is not that God has set up life to be too restrictive. The problem is we don't want to be close enough to God that we receive his life-giving oxygen. We always tend to think God is the problem in our relationship with God. He's too restrictive, he's too strict, he's too mean, he doesn't understand what I'm going through, so therefore the problem obviously is him. The first step of understanding the degree of our rebellion is to understand he's not the problem. The problem is we have rejected God's ways. The problem is not that God has rejected us. The issue is our behavior. The issue is our disbelief. The issue is that we have rejected God because we want to be God. All is ruined because we walked away. God did not walk away from us, but it gets worse. There's something worse than being a sinner. You're thinking, are you thinking? I hope you are. I don't know. What could possibly be worse than being a sinner? What's worse than being a sinner is being a religious sinner. So the people of Israel were sinners, but they were religious. In fact, if you look closely at the story of them worshiping the calf, they actually, what they were doing is they were building the calf, and they said, this is God who delivered us from Egypt. So what they said is, we want to worship God, but we want to worship him close by, so we're going to make something and worship the something and call it God. So if you would have asked them, do you worship the God of Israel, they would have said what? Of course we do. We love God. He saved us from Egypt. Where is he? He's on that pedestal over there. You see him there? He's that cow. And so you would have said to them, you need to have a relationship with God in order to be free of your sin, in order to have freedom and life in God. They would have said what? We do have a relationship with God. There he is. Want to go say hi? So there's something worse than being a rebellious sinner. It's being a religious rebellious sinner, because a religious rebellious sinner says, I can do all the things I want to do, and at the same time say, I love the Lord, and he's totally cool with it. It's one thing for me to say, God's a lame-o, I reject him. It's another one to say, God is awesome, and I can do whatever I want. And the way that Moses is saying here, perhaps I can come make atonement for your sin. I'm not sure if I can here, as a matter of fact, is what he's saying. But all is ruined because of our sin. All is ruined because we sin and we think God's okay with what we're doing. Because we can make God into any image we want. Let me end this section with this, and you're going, thank goodness, but let me just remind you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. All sin is personal. Every time we rebel against God and his ways, it is a sin against God and God alone. When David was confessing his sin of adultery with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, he said this, God, against you alone have I sinned. All sin is personal, and all sin is personally against God himself. There isn't a vanilla sin that God's not offended by, and there isn't a sin that doesn't involve God's holiness. All rebellion is against God himself, and all sin of mine and yours is individually caused by us. When we rebel against God, I don't know how to say this nicely, it's our fault the whole way. It's not God's fault in any way. All of our sin is against God, and all of our sin is our fault. And you say, well, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. And you're right, I don't. I wouldn't make light of that. Nonetheless, all sin is against God personally, and all sin is caused by us. It's not caused by God. It's not caused by our circumstances. It's caused by us. If you were in the Garden of Eden and you were Adam or you were Eve, you would have taken the prime rib too. If you don't know what I mean, I've always said the forbidden fruit was prime rib. I mean, who would take an apple? It's a tree of prime rib. I mean, you're going to take that, aren't you? Of course you are. I wouldn't even do it for the wisdom. I'd do it for the prime rib. If you were in the Garden of Eden and you were the Adam or you were the Eve, you would have taken it too. All sin is personal. All sin is against God. All sin is caused by us. We are ruined because we walked away. God did not walk away. All right, let's look at verses 31 and 32 and 33. What we like to think about this, back to that air hose illustration, is what we do is, okay, I cut off the air hose, so what I need to do is I need to just fix that air hose, right? I just need to connect that air hose back together. But see, we're not smart enough with our sin. We didn't disconnect it with the quick disconnect. What we did is we hacked up the hose with a dull knife. And so now there's no fixing it. It's ruined. It's gone. There's no way for us to fix it. The air hose that connected us to God is completely destroyed, ruined. First thing we said is because we walked away, verses 31 through 32, everything is ruined because the damage is permanent. The damage of our rebellion is permanent. Back in 2012, there was a news story about this mural of Jesus in this really old church somewhere over in Europe. I can't remember what church it was, but there's this mural. It's a 19th century mural of Jesus, and it was considered a piece of classic art. It was a beautiful mural. If you Google it, you can maybe see what it looked like beforehand. But there was this dear old lady. She worked in the church, and what she decided was to sort of restore it. But she's not exactly what we'd call an artist. So she fixed it, and when she was done with this classic painting of Christ, it looked like something your first grader would bring home from school. Completely ruined it. It doesn't even look like Jesus anymore. It doesn't even, frankly, look like a person in some ways. And this was a classic a painting on fresco done by a classic painter, and it was completely ruined. Now that she had tried fixing it, it was beyond repair. It was completely ruined. In fact, it was a hideous disaster. And this is the situation with our rebellion against God. The damage we have caused is permanent. Read again with me, verses 31 through 33 of Exodus 32. So Moses returned to the Lord. He said, oh, my lands, you're not going to believe this. God says, try me. Okay, I'm interpreting myself. Alas, they have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. But if not, wipe me out of your book. And God says, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Look at that last sentence. God says this. It's his words. Take it for what it is. Whoever has sinned against me, what? I will blot out of my book. There's not a way for me to make that okay. There's not a way for me to spin that to say, well, he's got two books. Maybe he's got half a dozen books. He's got the one book that he blots out for people who do the really bad stuff. And then he's got another set of books for people who just like cheat on their taxes. And some of you are like, that's a bad thing? Okay. Then you got another set of books for people who watch reality TV. And I'm messing with you. God here is saying, here's the price. All who sin against me, blotted out of my book. Moses understood the ruination sin caused. He said, listen, God, if you won't forgive them, then do to me what you're going to do to them. Blot me out of your book. I want you to put on me the price that they owe. They owe being blotted out of the book. So God, what I want you to do is do that to me instead of them. And what does God say? Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. The person who has the sin must be blotted out. He doesn't spell it out here, but let me explain it. Moses, you've got your own sin to be blotted for. You don't get to also do theirs. Another way of saying, Moses, you're a lousy redeemer. You're really good at plagues, maybe. You're good at carrying a staff that can turn into snakes. What you're lousy at is paying for other people's sin. Stay in your lane, Moses. Moses fails miserably. Moses goes up on the mountain and says, perhaps I can bring atonement. And what's the answer to the perhaps? Nope. Moses can't atone. He's a lousy atoner. He's a lousy mediator. He's a lousy redeemer. What he has so far done is just confirm for God that he needs to blot them out of his book. What is this book he's talking about? Back in ancient times, cities would have these books that were in rolls and had all the people who were in that city or that region. What you do is when you were born, they'd write your name in there, Bob Smith. And then you would stay in there until you moved away. And when you moved away, they'd scratch your name out. Or if they had a funeral, scratch your name out. So the book was always getting longer. Usually there were scrolls. And there was always sort of a window of time where it's all the living people in that region. And then they would keep moving it as years go by. The dead people would get scratched out and new people would be written down. And what Moses is saying is, God, you have a book with all of your people who are alive. And God is saying, everybody is in that book till I blot you out when you sin. God is saying here, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out. Moses fails as a mediator because he has his own sin to deal with. There is only one person who has the ability to receive on himself the sin of others, and that person is Jesus. And you say, well, how does that work? How exactly does that work? So Jesus doesn't have to pay for his own sin because he has none. The Bible is quite clear. He committed no sin. He was holy and righteous before God because he is God. And what God says is, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. So what Jesus does, according to the Bible, it says he receives on himself our sin. The way it says it is this. He who knew no sin, who's that? He who knew no sin, okay, stay with me, good, became sin. So he became sin that we might receive the righteousness of God. So it's a transaction two ways. He receives our sin, we receive his righteousness. Now what happens to all who have sinned, or who in his case has become sin? He has to be blotted out of the book, yes? That's if I'm reading Exodus right. So he is. What do we call that? The cross. So God blots him out of the book. He takes all of our sin that ought to remove us from the book. He receives that on himself. And then he is crucified, so God blots him out of his book. And that's sad. And that's worrisome. And for 2.5 days or so, it was worrisome. And then the grave opened, and we said, oh, he's that awesome. He can't stay dead. He is God. So he pays the full penalty for us being blotted out of the book. By being blotted out of the book himself, he raises us from the dead and writes his name back in it. Says, I'm back. That's a good redeemer. Moses, lame. Moses, you're going to die for my sin with your own sin and you have no ability to raise from the dead. No, thank you. I'll go with the guy who has no sin and cannot stay dead. That is a better redeemer. But we need to understand, when we look at the cross, we look at the permanent ruination our sin caused. Jesus died an eternal death on the cross for us. He took on himself what it would have taken us forever to pay. Our sin was permanent. The only way it could be permanently fixed was for God himself to pay for it. That's a good redeemer. That means our sin was really bad. We are ruined because the damage we caused is permanent. We try to patch things up, and guess what? It gets worse. We try to fix our life the way that old woman in that church tried to fix that painting, and then it looks like a three-year-old tried to save us. And at some point in our life, hopefully sooner rather than later, we get to the point where we say, God, it turns out I'm not good at saving myself. Will you take care of this for me? Will you just pay my sin? Will you just redeem me? All sin is ruinous. Lying is ruinous. Destroys your life, destroys your relationships, destroys your heart. Envy will destroy your life. Despite the fact that our entire culture is based on the pursuit of what we want based on envy. Envy will destroy you. Envy in our hearts creates the inability to just be cool with today. Wouldn't it be great just to say today is good enough? Envy says it is not possible for today to be good enough. Lust will destroy us. It will destroy our relationships. It will destroy our hearts. Pride will destroy our relationship with God because we think we know better than Him. Selfishness will destroy our hearts because we decide in selfishness that the end of all of my work is me. The end of all of my pursuit is the satisfaction of whatever I want today. Unthankfulness will ruin our hearts and minds. There is no kind of good sin. All sin ruins us. We don't do ourselves any favors when we say, well, I'm not a great husband, but I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a great friend, but I've never murdered anybody. I'm not a great boss, but I'm not Hitler. All sin is ruinous. There's no such thing as a white lie. There is only deadly lies. All sin will destroy us. All sin causes permanent damage. Now, some of you are thinking this, just to answer this question. Some of you are thinking, no, I've done some stuff. It didn't cause any problems. Anybody done some bad stuff and yet it was cool? Everything worked out? Okay, so let's go back to lying. Just touch on that one again. What about the fact that I sin? Sometimes it works out. Nothing bad happens. You might want to say, thank you, God. You might want to say that, thank you, God, that every time we blow it, He doesn't unleash what ought to be. We might want to say, God, thank you for your grace again today, that I don't have to atone for my sin. It goes on the cross. There is only one Redeemer. It's a Redeemer who hasn't sinned, and the only Redeemer is the one who can fix permanent damage permanently. But we will always have reminders of it. And this will bother you a little bit, but just deal with it. Some of us are wondering, when we get to heaven, will we remember our sin? And you're hoping when you get to heaven, you won't remember all the naughty things you did. I'm hoping that too. Unfortunately, how would Jesus explain the holes in his hands if we can't remember what we were saved from? There's holes in his hands. What are those from, Jesus? Oh, yeah, he's working on a project. The reason we want to pretend like all of our memory is wiped, we've never experienced what it's like to live in the grace of Christ wholly. Completely resting in the grace of Christ, where we can say, that's what happened. Jesus paid for it, so everything is okay. In that moment, we're going to experience grace and love in a way we never have before. All sin has permanent damage, and we'll see and experience the grace of Christ even in glory when we recognize what He saved us from.
No matter our shortcomings, great or small, Pastor Greg Spires has been assuring us we have a Redeemer in the Lord Jesus able to reconcile us back to the Father. And we hope you'll be back for more of this message titled Ruined on the Next Lasting Hope. And we'd also like to invite you to listen each week at this same time for more encouragement from God's Word. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. You know, these past few months have caused many of us to be anxious about life and the future. The daily news is filled with chaos and unrest, along with an uncertainty about our health and safety. That's why Pastor Greg has written encouragement in his Lasting Hope newsletter. Every week he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will inspire and reassure you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. We also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Again, just go to lastinghope.org at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Once again, just go to lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message titled Ruined. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.